simply move out of the way and allow Scripture to speak for itself today. Father, many of us in here in the room today, Father, understand that we are the bride of Christ, but we have no way of knowing how to act. Yes. But your word gives us direction. And in that direction, spiritually, of how we're to act with you, Lord, is also telling us how to be and act in our physical relationships with husbands and wives. So, Lord, today, bring forth your rhema by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, last week we said that the church is made up of those people who have been called to do what? Walk away from sin. I'm going to make it very simple. Walk away from sin and walk into a life of holiness and truth. Away from sin, we've been called away and into, separated out, if you will, from the world, live a different life than what the world's living. Okay? Though not yet perfect, we are to nevertheless what? Hate any sins we do participate in and bring them to the Lord for forgiveness. The Lord knows that we are going to turn, unfortunately, but then there's repentance where we turn back to God. And when we come to Him with forgiveness, the slate is wiped clean thanks to the blood of Jesus Christ. We also said that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is when He comes to live within us, and the baptism by the Spirit is when He calls us to let Him out. Pretty short and sweet, right? Baptism of the Holy Spirit is done to us by God. He comes to live within us. And then there's many infillings where we choose to yield to Him and let Him out in ministry. And that's a baptism by the Holy Spirit. Folks, as a living part of the church, you are called into a relationship with Jesus Christ, not an organization.
Yes.
That the Bible repeatedly compares to a covenant that is made between a husband and a wife. I think it's pretty important if God is using that illustration for us to understand what that marriage unit should be. When you say, I do, Jesus sends you His Holy Spirit to seal that covenant. We're going to be constantly looking back and forth as you study these scriptures, applying it to our relationship with Jesus and apply it in your marriage, okay? So you just do that for me and follow me. When you say, I do, Jesus sends you His Holy Spirit to seal that covenant. Ephesians 1:13. In Him. See, now we're in a marriage, so we're one flesh, one spirit actually with Jesus, right? But as brothers and sisters, or should I say husband and wife, we are one flesh. In Him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, not just enough to listen, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise. Can you see the marriage here? It's consummated. There's this consummation of Jesus coming in to live with us by the Holy Spirit. It's intimacy. It's called relationship, folks. You're not called into a church to go through religious gymnastics and motions. We're called into a relationship here. We in turn, right, because we're the wife, are totally subject or should subject ourselves to Him. And do what? Bear His fruit. Raise up children. Bear His fruit. Listen to it. Ephesians 5:24. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Subjectivity here. There's a pecking order. Romans 7:4. Therefore, my brethren, you also were made to die to the law, our old way of life, through the body of Christ, so that you might be what? Walk out of darkness and into Christ, into this relationship building process. Joined together to Him who was what? Raised from the dead in order that we might what? Bear fruit for God, have children. Two people come together as one flesh, they have children. Well, we're to bear fruit as well unto God spiritually. And we should resemble who? The DNA of the husband. So what's Jesus' DNA? We're going to find that out here today. So to better appreciate the weightiness and the importance of what we say covenant is between Jesus and His church, as well as between husband and wife biblically, we need to better understand the Middle Eastern culture of marriage. If you want to know how Jesus was relating the husband and wife relationship, we have to know what it was like back in the Middle Eastern times. And so that's what we're going to do here today. Okay, here we go. In biblical times, your parents arranged your marriage. You had no choice. Oh, I think I'm in love. No, you may not be in love, but you can get in love because love is a verb. It's an action. It's a choice. And folks, let me tell you something. When you're told who you're going to marry, you better make the choice to love the other person. Or maybe you're in a marriage that's difficult right now, and you have to choose, even though you don't feel like it, to make it work. Why? Because we've taken this word so lightly. We're in covenant! We've made a promise before God Almighty. The two have become one flesh. Let no man separate, pull asunder that union. We hear them the first day we get up to the altar, but do we remember them in days that follow? Marriage was arranged. This was a required order that was agreed to in advance. There was a bride price paid by the groom to the Father. There was a price paid by the groom, Jesus, to the Father for his bride. Acts 20:28. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock amongst which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. To do what? To shepherd the church of God, which he, Jesus, purchased with his own blood. There was a price paid for you and I to be in a marriage with Jesus. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? Verse 20. Or, for you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. The engagement period was about 1 year in length in order to do what? To prove purity and to get ready. The engagement period was about 1 year in length in order to prove purity and to get ready. Philippians 1:9-11. So we rush into marriage so much these days. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment. Love requires discernment. So that you may what? Approve the things that are excellent. In order to be what? Sincere and blameless until the day of Christ. See, we're in an engagement period and Jesus is the right hand of the Father. And right now we're going through a period of preparation for the marriage supper of the Lamb when we go to be with Jesus on our wedding day. And he says, there's things you as a bride must do. You need to prepare. You need to be filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ. We need to be filled with his fruit. We need to be bearing fruit. We need to be, he needs to come back and say, that's my church, without spot or wrinkle. I want you to look at just some of the intangible rewards you receive for faithfulness and purity in relationship. Job 11:13-19. You make a choice to prepare for the coming of the Lord. You make a choice to work at your marriage and prepare in your marriage and to bear fruit in your marriage and to be other-oriented and to know that you're subject one unto another. You make a choice to do those things and it's going to work. If you do your part and not worry about the other person, you're going to be just fine because Jesus has done his part. He's waiting on us. If you would direct your heart right and spread out your hand to him, if iniquity is in your hand, in other words, some of you guys are out there sinning and you're not doing what's right, put it far away. That's how easy it is. Put it far away. And do not let wickedness dwell in your tent. That's your personhood. Then indeed, you could lift up your face without moral defect. How about that? Without moral defect. And you would be steadfast. And you know what? Fear would just go in Jesus' name. For you would forget your trouble. How about that? Anybody want to forget their trouble here today? Some of you walked in with it. You don't have to leave here with it. As waters that have passed by, you wouldn't even remember it. This is for the person who wants to walk righteously. Your life would be brighter than noonday. See, this is the purity. Christ is coming back for a bride. He wants us to walk this way. He doesn't want us to have fear. He doesn't want us to walk in our sins. He wants us to pull us out of darkness and what? Into his marvelous light. And don't worry about your track record. He says, start today. Your life would be brighter than noonday if you start today. Darkness would be just like the morning to you. You wouldn't be coming in here hanging your heads under condemnation. For there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, in marriage covenant, in union. Then you would trust because there's hope. And you would look around and you would rest securely. How many want to rest securely at night? You'd lie down and none would disturb you. And many would entreat your favor. You would be sought after. When your marriage looks good, everybody wants to know what you have. Don't always be a follower. Be a leader. You can't put a value on this kind of peace going into a marriage. It takes preparation. Let's go on. The bride would then light a lamp and put it in the window of the house because she never knew when the wedding day would be. Whew! What excitement this must have generated. What anticipation. What a great motivation to remain faithful. The bride would light a lamp, put it in the window because she never knew when the wedding day would be. All I know is that is a motivation to remain faithful. The fact that you have eternal life and Jesus Christ has commanded you to love your wife as Christ loves the church, and for wives, submit to your husbands. The fact that Jesus Christ has commanded that and one day is coming back for us to take us home and give us the example of the epitome of what it means to live in that vein. Wow, that should be motivation to say, even though I don't feel like it, I'm going to do it. Even though my marriage has been arranged, I'm going to do it because I know what the promise of God is. You're in an arranged marriage right now with the Almighty. Praise God, it was arranged for you.
Yeah. Amen.
Wow. Luke 12, 35 and 36. Be dressed. You better be dressed when he comes back. Be dressed in readiness and keep your lamps lit. Be like men who are waiting for their master when he returns from the wedding feast so that they may immediately open the door to him when he comes and he knocks. Wow. How do you light your lamp? Let your light shine. How do you do that? You're an example. You're living a fruitful life. You're walking in obedience. You have the white dress on and you're walking around in it, symbolizing purity. You're saying no to sin and yes to Christ. You're attractive. Who wouldn't want to be with you? Why wouldn't you want to be married? Why wouldn't you want to share your life together and minister together and walk together? But you know what? Men, we ought to lead by example. Lead me. That's what she's saying. Lead me. But you got to lead in a way that she wants to follow. She has to see your good behavior so she can emulate it. We're leading and flying the flag. If you've ever seen the Patriot, when he's up there flying a flag and all the guys are going in the opposite direction and they look back and they fix their eyes like it would be upon Jesus, but they saw the flag, they saw the Patriot, they saw his courage, and they followed. And we're free today in America because of men like that. They made a choice to risk their lives, to walk away from pleasures and sin, to head into a place where they knew there'd be ultimate freedom. Wow, what a picture that Jesus is showing us, and how if we just walk in obedience to him, we'll have no problem leading our wives, guys. But if we don't have Christ leading the way, we're groping around like blind rats, looking for some garbage to cling to because we have nothing to feed on, we have nothing to look upon. No invitations were sent out. The day of arrival was all up to the discretion of the groom. Now, let's not forget that Jesus is God. He says, only the Father knows the day and the hour. Well, guess what? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus is God. The husband's Jewish custom was to go to his father's house, this is cool, and build a room on the side called the bridal chamber or the wedding chamber. That's what he did in the natural. Let's look what Jesus has done for us. John 14. Because it's an example. He's showing us how it should be. John 14, 2 and 3. Like a flower, he comes forth and withers, and he also flees like a shadow. What is that? That's Job. I'd like to have John, if you can. Throw it up there, fam. John. Just grab me John 14, 2 and 3. John 14, 2 and 3. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. You think Jesus didn't know that when he said this statement, but what was going on in the culture at that time? If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. That's the husband coming for the wife. That where I am, you may be also. It's anticipatory. We know that He is. We know that He's alive. We know that He's at the right hand of the Father. We know that we're betrothed. We know that we should be preparing and walking in white. We know that He's not telling us exactly when He's coming, but we should be awful excited and anticipating that marriage supper and that life ahead of us. How many of you have that kind of marriage? And if we don't, we need to follow the King and the way that He has prepared the way. When the preparations were completed, they sang songs and sent a messenger to tell the bride, "He's coming. Get ready. Get ready." Sang about that today. Revelation 19. And a voice came from the throne saying, "Give praise to our God." Praise and worship, folks. All you as bondservants, all you who fear Him, reverence Him, meaning reverence Him, the small and the great. Then I heard something like the voice of a great multitude, and like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder. It's not quiet in heaven. Saying, "Hallelujah, let's praise the Lord, for the Lord our God Almighty, He reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give glory to Him." Why? For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. Are you ready to be married, folks? Are you really ready to be married? Are you really ready to say, "I do"? Do you know what the requirements are when you're in an arranged marriage? Do you know what the responsibilities you have to prepare as a bride for the marriage? Malachi 2:7. "For the lips of a priest should preserve knowledge, and men should seek instruction from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts." What is Malachi saying? That people who are gifted, people who have been given the responsibility to be shepherds amongst the flock, are to preach this truth to you, to let you know that He's coming back, to let you know that He's been resurrected, to let you know that you're the bride of Christ, to let you know that you should be walking in obedience. And when you're not, we should rebuke you in love and pull you along, because you're children that are waiting and hoping for the best in marriage. It's up job of the shepherds, the messengers, to tell you how to act. Such celebration in heaven and such wisdom to pastors, leaders, to encourage the church to remain pure. That's what He's telling us as pastors. Encourage the church to remain pure before the Lord. Basically, to let the light of Christ shine in anticipation of His coming. See, in the Middle East, the bride would have to take her lamp, turn it up in the window so that the groom would easily find her. 2 Corinthians 11:2. "For I'm jealous for you with a godly jealousy. For I betrothed you to one husband, so that to Christ I might present you as a" what? "Pure virgin." Isn't it so wonderful that no matter what your past and how many times you might have committed adultery, that when Jesus looks at you, when you're in a repentant state and you're walking in the purity of His love and you're just starting to walk His way and stuff like that, He sees you as a pure virgin? A pure virgin. Wow. Matthew 5:14-16. "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anybody light a lamp and put it under a basket," that's foolish, "but on the lampstand, and gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Men, as leaders of our homes, our wives ought to see our good conduct and glorify the Father and be grateful that they have an opportunity to submit underneath our leadership. But we cannot lead if we're out there participating in the deeds of darkness. It doesn't work that way. She's not going to follow you into darkness. Amen. She's not a doormat. Jesus would never walk in darkness. He gives us a perfect example of being a light and exemplifying that light. Folks, you have to have your wedding clothes on, symbolizing that whiteness, that purity upon His arrival. In other words, be prepared. Matthew 22:12-13. And He said to him, "Friend, how did you get in here? How did you come in here without wedding clothes on?" And you know what? Likewise, like him, what should we be? Speechless. "My marriage is failing. I don't know what to do." Yes, you do. Yes, y'all do. It's an excuse. You should be speechless. You should be on your knees. Say, "Christ, take over. I've done my best. I failed. Now I need you." And He will replenish, He will refresh, He'll give you a better marriage than you ever had, and He will restore what the cankerworm has come to steal.
Right.
And you got to believe that it's never too late. Never too late. You don't know when the bridegroom is coming. You just act when you have today, because today is the day of salvation. You just be who you are in Christ today and let God take care of the Spirit of God move.
Yes.
Like He moved upon the waters into that spouse's heart. The bridegroom, this is cool, would then call out, shout to you, taking you to the wedding at his father's house. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-18. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so that we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Matthew 25, one of the greatest passages that illustrates what we need to be doing while our bridegroom is preparing a place for us in heaven, and what we need to do as husbands here on earth to build and prepare. Listen to this. The kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins. Well, who's supposed to be the virgins, folks? The bride. Who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil. What does that represent? Holy Spirit. The preparation process. Wanting to be white. Wanting to get out of the deeds of darkness and into His marvelous light. Took it oil along in their flasks, along with their lamps. They were lights. They were ready. Now while the bridegroom was delaying, because we never know the hour, right? They all got drowsy and they began to sleep. Complacency, slumber. You don't give a rip. Tomorrow I'll work on my marriage. Tomorrow I'll change my job. Tomorrow I'll make this decision. Tomorrow I'll do that. Oh, it'll work out. But at midnight there was a shout. Behold the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the prudent, oh, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. You think? But the prudent answered and said, no, there will not be enough for us and you too. You can't ride on the coattails of anybody else's faith.
That's right.
Go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourselves. Go to Christ. Some of you have so many counselors, you don't have the one that matters the most, and that's Jesus. And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast. And the door was shut. Verse 11. Later the other virgins also came saying, Lord, Lord, open up for us. But he answered, truly I say to you, I do not know you. But be on the alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour. You don't want the door shut on you.
Right.
Not with Christ and not with your marriage partner.
Right.
But you have a responsibility. So here's the call today at this altar. From God to you. I speak to pride right now and tell pride to go to dry places in Jesus' name. Today's the day of salvation. Today's a day of celebration. It's just like when we had communion. You can come up here, be refreshed, and then you know what? Go on, live your life, do what your responsibility is to do, and trust God with the other. Because ultimately, it's His responsibility anyway. It's not yours. Folks, here it is. Are you ready for marriage to the King? These are just questions for you to muse over. Are you ready for marriage to the King? Is your light shining among men? Because these are some of the things that we need to be doing, right? These are some of the preparation process. Are you saying no to the deeds of darkness and advances of the world in your life? Are you saying no to the deeds of darkness and the advances of the world into your life? Taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Are you dressed and ready to go? Or are you lazy and still lying in bed with complacency? Have you any oil to light your way, or are you relying upon the world to get you where you need to go? Do you have any more questions? Do you have more questions for God than you do faith in God? Do you have more questions for God than you do faith in God? Can you see that subjection, purity, and preparation are necessary in earthly marriages as well as to the Lord? See, the Lord is calling in Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears this message come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes to take the water of life without cost come. Have you made way for the King? If not, I open this altar right now. If you're ready for marriage, if you're ready to say I do to Him, then you need to come. And if you've already said I do, but have failed to prepare by being lazy, all the more reason to come on up. Repent before Him and be refreshed. Make your way to the front. Make way for the King. This is between you and Him. You don't need anybody to pray over you. You come up to the altar in your own strength and you join yourself to Him and consequently join yourself to those He's put into your life. Amen? Pam? If that's you, you come.